Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Let's get in the word for a minute. And I'm Bill Shear. I pastor church. Welcome everybody online. Everybody in St. Louis, everybody in New Jersey, everybody in Oklahoma City, people that I know of, and I know you guys know of family and friends and people that you talk to about the church that watch it online, and I'm really appreciative. People that listen to the podcast, you know, the word is paramount for us. The word is the priority. It is not a priority. And I just want you to know, too, when I use the term priority, it's never plural. Like, I don't have priorities, all right? I have, like, priority is a singular term. So, like, right now, my priority is to break the bread of life for you, is to rightly divide the word of truth, is to help. And listen, for some of you guys, listen, this is digging up and excavating and laying a foundation in your life. But others of you, it's adding structure to your life and even maybe new stories. This might even turn your life around. And what I believe in God for is this: turn your life to where the ceiling in your life gets flipped and becomes the floor of your life. But see, that's what the word does for us. And whether it's laying a foundation for you or it's building structure for whole new stories and new elevations in your life, I'll tell you, it's the self-same word. It's how God does it. And you know what? You might hear something that adds expansion to what God's doing in your life. And others of you, it may just shore up that, lay a pier in that foundation and help you. And to me, that's vital. Every bit of it. Some of it, it might be seed to you. And others of you, it might hydrate seed that's already in the soil of your heart. See, that's the dynamic, the duality of God's word. But above anything, it is the priority of our life. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. See, for people to say, how can you know God? It's like real easy. You know His Word, because that's who He is. Does that make sense? See, Jesus was the Word made flesh, and He dwelt among us. All Jesus did was live out God's Word, live out God's promise. Jesus said, listen, I'm not making this up as I go along. This isn't random. What I hear my Father say is what I say. See, so that's got to be how we speak. It's got to be the words that we choose. They all have to be, listen, they all have to be laden with God's promise. The Bible says we have death and life is in the power of our tongue. I mean, you could speak life or you could speak death. You could speak blessing or you could speak cursing. Let me tell you what a blessing is. A blessing is something that lifts us supernaturally. A curse is something that demonically suppresses us. See, that's what that is. It's not all spooky. It's just words of doubt and negativity and unbelief that brings a curse into your life. See, some of you guys have a suppression in your health. You know, some of you guys have thought, you know what, man, I haven't felt good in years. And you let that come out of your mouth where you say, man, I haven't felt good in years. Man, you reap what you sow. You eat good the fruit that comes out of your mouth. If you're speaking life, that's what you're going to have. You get a diagnosis, a terminal illness in your life, and you begin to speak, I'll live and not die. Let me tell you what that does. It nullifies those negative words. See, and let me tell you, science will tell you that it takes 100 positive words to negate a negative word. I don't agree with that. See, I believe that the thoughts in our life and the words in our life can be negated by one word from God. When we say, I'll live and not die, my marriage is strong, and you know what? Every fact in your life may go against what you're saying. All you're doing is bringing a heavenly lift in your life and blessing your life. Anybody in here need a lift in your life and a blessing in your life? Well, that's what God gives us. See, and it's interesting because the Bible says this, proclaim God's promise in season and out of season. Man, proclaim it when you feel like it and proclaim it when you don't. See, that's what in season and out of season. Man, where it's like, this is awkward. All hell's breaking loose. But you know what? The Bible says everything I put my hand to prospers. Anybody agree with that? Anybody believe that everything you put your hand to prospers? Let me hear you. Remember, the Bible says, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We sang that tonight. Flood this place, man. The atmosphere of this place, this is the opportunity for you in your life to be Spirit-led, to be led by the Spirit of God, where you're not digging dry wells anymore. You're not shooting, you're not swinging and missing anymore. Man, you hit the mark that you're an expert marksman. You're a master builder in your life. See, that's what the Word of God does for us. See, but let me just tell you, the life that God's called us to live is by design. God's designed life for all of us. Man, God's given us the power of life and death's in our tongue. So you know what? Our words have to say it. So if we walk around and we're saying, man, I have no idea what the will of God is in my life, please stop saying that. Especially if you're a friend of mine. Man, just say, you know what? Man, I'm living God's will. Man, God's letting me know every single day His will, His purpose in my life. Because see, that's what the Word's going to do. The Word is going to listen. The Word, the creative power of God, the creative power of His Word, it's going to design His purpose right before your eyes. Everything you put, whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Do it with your whole heart. The Bible says what you value, the what you treasure, man, that's going to reflect what's in your heart. See, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Man, if it's doubt, if it's unbelief, if it's confusion, do you know the Bible says that the devil is the author of confusion? Do you know with God there's no confusion? Do you understand? You receive a word of God tonight, you know what it's going to do? It's gonna lay waste to all the confusion that's been in your heart. Man, life's not confusing at all. We know God and He's good, right? We know the devil and he's bad, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God, why is this happening? Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Jesus said, man, in this world, how many of you guys are in the world? Be of good cheer. Why? But because it's hard to be, so you gotta command yourself. Why? Because you're going to have tribulation in this world. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Listen, the odds are, write this down. This is a freebie. The odds are not against you. You are an overwhelming favorite to win in life. Overwhelming. You are unbeatable. You are undefeatable. You are indefatigable. You are not going to wear out. I'm just telling you, the righteous have never been forsaken. God promises. Let me just tell you, and Pastor Sandy, you guys all say hi to Sandy. Sandy, you want to wave? Sandy was talking to me, just talking. Yeah, she was just talking. She just said, you know, it's interesting because there's people, there's teaching. There's kind of a rift out there that well, you know what? God will lift His presence. You know what? God won't ever lift His presence from you. Are you listening to me? The promise of God is He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Well, that was really bad. No, you can grieve Him, but you can't run Him off. So tonight, if you feel like you've run God off, if you feel like God's lifted His hand from your life, I'll tell you, when bad things are happening around me, you know what? Man, I catch myself. Stop talking. Where's God? God, I know you're here somewhere. And let me tell you what God will always do. You want to know what God will always do? He will always reveal Himself. Always. Let me tell you what the devil will always do. He'll always overplay his hand. Oh, I'm single and I'll never get married. No, the devil's just overplayed his hand. You know why? Because the Bible says that if we delight ourselves in God, He'll give us the desires of your heart. If it's your desire to be married, well, you know, we're just having a hard time having kids. Man, how many couples have we known, Sandy, over the years that have had a hard time having kids? And you know what? Man, they just feel like they're desperate. It's like, wait a second, just relax. And somebody prays for them. And you know what? Then they have babies. See, the unbelievable thing about God, the incredible thing about God, the unmatched thing about God is that he will perform his word. His word won't return unto him void of power. It will accomplish that which he sent it to do. And what did God send his word to do? Heal you, deliver you of your destructions, and to bless you overwhelmingly, super. You know, the Bible, you know, in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about abundance, and this, I'll tell you what, this ticks off religious people. It really does. Man, because we get up, we start talking about prosperity. Do you understand? We can't talk about prosperity enough when it comes to God. You know why? When the Bible talks about abundance, that word is translated abundance. The literal translation is superabundance. Superabundance. God's called you to live life and life more abundant, all right? How many of you guys believe that? Man, Jesus gives us life and life more abundant, more life than you ever need of. No, you know what? It's actually life and life that's super abundant. Do you know what God's, you know what God's will is for you? To be able to give to every good work. But you know what? Man, common sense will tell you, well, you can't give to everything. Really? It's the will of God for you to give to everything. That's the will of God. It's the will of God for every time that bucket goes by, you put something in it. That's the will of God. Why? Why? Because all that is seed. Let me just tell you, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It's not yours anyway. It's God's. I'm just telling you, that's why the tithe is so easy, because what you have is God's already. So all you're doing is saying, God, everything I have is yours. So here's the first 10%, the first 10%, whether it's 10 bucks or it's 10 million bucks, it doesn't matter. All it is just a matter of zeros. It's all about your heart. God's not looking for a check. God's not looking for your checkbook. God's just looking for your heart. Man, don't let your heart be troubled. Man, believe God's promise. Stop the worry. Stop the anxiety. What's the will of God? The will of God, number one, is just for you simply to tithe. And you'll say, well, it's not that easy. No, sure it is. God says, prove me now in this, that you'll not open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing that I'm unable to receive. That's what God's going to do. God's going to rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. I, for one, do not want the devourer anywhere in my life, much less in the midst of me. Anybody with me on that? So I can get up and I can say, devil, you got to go. Devil, you got to go. Devil, you got to go. But you know what? I may be robbing God. I may be cursed with a curse. I may be being suppressed just because I'm trying to hang on to all my money. And you'll say, you know what? God doesn't need my money. No, you know what? God needs our heart. And where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be also. Please hear this. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here. You know what? If I were going to tickle your ears, I'd get up and say, hey, give what you can. That's sensitive, right? Man, just give a little bit. Just give something. No, I'm pleading with you to commit to the tithe. Pleading with you. You'll be called a delightful land. You know what God's called this church to do? Take new ground. To turn the ground that you're inhabiting right now, for you to occupy it and make it the prosperous place, man, the fertile place. Man, do you just think that it's a government that keeps a nation prosperous? Do you, for real, do you believe that? I believe the way the nation goes is the way the church goes. The way the church goes is the way people go. And I'll just tell you, especially men, that men take the lead. That men aren't worried about, aren't anxious, aren't fretting, don't have a bunch of anxiety. No, you know what? Man, I'm purposing in my heart to give to every godly work that's in the, especially the church that I call home. Let's get in the Word. You guys want to? 2 Timothy 2:1. You know, but here's the bottom line too. 1 Corinthians 2:4, I think. Sounds right. It says that this isn't enticing words of men's wisdom. This isn't some salesmanship. This is this is the demonstration of the Spirit. That's what God will do with his word. You guys ready to receive that tonight? Man, are you glad you came tonight? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Let's sit under the word for a minute. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong. Stop right there. Underline it. It doesn't say get strong, does it? What does it say? Be strong. Say it again.
Be strong.
Everybody say, I am strong. See, the Bible says that. A concurrent verse with that is, let the weak say I'm strong. And you might say, well, you know, that's a lie. No, it's the truth. The facts are you might be weak. The truth is you're strong. Write that down. Factually, it might be insurmountable evidence that you're weak. But what does the word say? The word says I'm strong. So here he said, therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong. Listen. Not in positive thinking, not in your workouts. No, be strong, listen, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, let's talk about the order here. God promises that everything, let everything be done decently and in order. And I believe this starts, the whole order of God's word starts with how Jesus, how Christ is named. Jesus Christ, the actions man to God. Christ Jesus, the actions of God to man. So be strong in the grace which was given you in Christ Jesus. What's the action? God to man. Is God faithful? Is God faithful?
Yes.
Is your life super abundant?
Yes.
Because God's faithful. God's faithful, so your life's super abundant. Your life's super abundant because God's faithful. See, so be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me, all that is the promises of God. So be strong because the promises of God, he said, among many witnesses, meaning, let me just tell you, I stopped, I had breakfast with a driller coach this morning downtown. I walked out and this guy said, hey, you got some money? I said, man, I got money. I got a pocket full of money. He said, well, I just need some money to eat. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll go in, you go in with me, and I'll order you breakfast. How about that? Whatever you want on the menu. You can get a dozen eggs if you want. He goes, well, I can't. I'm banned from going in there. I said, no, you can't be banned. It's a freaking, no. I got in a couple fights in there, so they told me I can't go in. I go, okay. So you were foolish before, right? He goes, yeah, I guess I was. And I said, so let's change some things. You guys, you want to change some things? He goes, I got to change a lot of things. And I said, can I just be real with you? He goes, wait a second. Are you that pastor? I said, well, I am one. I don't know if I'm that one. And he said, my sister loves you. I said, man, that's awesome. You should too, because I'm fixing to change your life. He said, how's that? I said, let me just tell you. And he kept trying to show me the scar in his head. The first time he told me it was a tumor. The second time he told me he got shot in the head. And I'm like, so I just saw one scar. So evidently somebody shot him in the tumor. And and finally I said, stop showing me that scar. Okay, I got it. I said, let's change the game. You want to? I said, I got some money. And so here's the deal. I'm going to give you some money if you just change the game for me and just humor me. He goes, I need the game changed. I said, great. I said, so here's what you do. Instead of walking up and saying, hey, you got some money, because people have got money, all right? And you're asking people that earn money to give you money because you're desperate. That isn't how this works. I said, so here's what happens. I'm going to give you money. I said, but I want you to just do this today. Just when people walk up, just say, hey, what can I do for you? And no, it's going to be awkward. But it's not going to be as awkward as, hey, give me some money. I think that's completely awkward. And let me just tell you, there's no dignity in that. And you know what you've got to do? You've got to lift your head. You got to open your eyes. You got to look at the fields. They're wide unto harvest. So you ask people, just ask them, say, hey, excuse me, what can I do for you? And I told them the story of blind Bartimaeus, and he came up to Jesus. Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, that I might see. He spit in the ground and made mud. I said, because this is going to change how you think. See, the blind guy, he comes up to Jesus and he couldn't see because he was blind. But when he walked away from Jesus to go to the fountain, he still couldn't see. But now it wasn't because he was blind. It's because he had mud in his eyes. I said, that's what you've got to change. And I said, let me tell you what you can. I said, can you walk 6 miles? He said, yes. I said, okay, you walk 6 miles east of here and go to our distribution center. And just walk up to people and just say, hey, what can I do for you? They'll give you something to do. And God's going to lift your life. God's going to change things around. You know what? These people walk by, these two women walk by. They were going in the restaurant. And he goes, excuse me, ladies, what can I do for you guys? And they said, well, we're just going in to get some breakfast. So they went in. I said, that was awkward, right? He goes, yeah, it was awkward, but I feel really good about that now. See, what we've got to do is we've got to understand there is grace, there is power. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes what God intended it to accomplish. But guess what? It just requires us taking little steps. It just requires us doing a little bit of excavating and putting in a foundation. Man, building some scaffold. You know what? This just might be scaffolding for the next floor of your life tonight. See, that's what God's word does. But what we've got to do is we've got to be strong. And then he says something. Get ready to underline this in verse 2. Commit these to faithful men. Commit these to faithful men. Now listen to this. Who are able to teach others. See, this isn't about getting this word to you. This is about getting this word through you. Does that make sense? See, I preached in Cincinnati over the weekend. Great church. But it just hit me. I thought, wait a second. I said, great church, great people. Not nearly as great a church or great as people as you are. And you already know that already, right? Thank you. I'll move on. So I went up and I said, let me ask you something. Who is the word, who does God target in the word? I said, let me just tell you, the blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. Okay, so I walked up to guys like in the third row. Sharp, he's got his arm around this woman. I said, hey, you guys together? He goes, yeah, married 16 years. I said, man, how's it going? He goes, oh, it's good. Man, things are good. I said, okay, that's great. He said, good. I said, how's your marriage? He goes, oh, great. I said, okay, understand, you're off the agenda. And the place was just like this too, like what? Okay, your life is good. Your marriage is great. Now you got to get this word that you're receiving today through you to somebody. You got to find the blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. See, that's how this works. But see, we get all constipated. We get all stopped up and we're like, okay, man, I got to get the word. I got to get the word. I got to get the word. Why? Because God wants to get it through you. See, and that's why the dynamics, how this works, it's not just how God changes your life. Yeah, that's a given. But at some point, how long you been here? I mean, how long you been here, son? Since you were 5 years old, how old are you now? I'm sorry? 16 years. His life better be pretty good by now, huh, Scott? No, you understand? And man, you're taking notes and you're in the Word. I see you here every Wednesday, every Sunday. But see, the bottom line is the end game to all of this is, man, it's why we have the internship. Why we have the internship is to open up that so now we could get this ministry, the whole leading of the Spirit, the Word of God, man, to other people. Man, that's how this works. See, we're in complete control. The Bible says the end comes when the gospel is preached to the four corners of the earth. So I'm walking by a homeless guy with a big scar in the back of his head who evidently sister comes to this church, and I'm walking by him because I'm busy talking to a driller's coach. But no, can I get some money? It's like, yeah, you can get some money, but let me tell you, it's not going to help you. That money's not going to help you. Man, what happened when they were begging? What, man, silver and gold have I none. It's not going to help you. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Man, that guy ran and jumped and praised God. Man, what am I supposed to pull out some money and say, hey, can you bust a 20? No, I gave him $20. See, the bottom line is now, and you know what? You say, well, he could have gone and bought drugs. He could have gone and bought liquor. He could have. But guess what? I got 20 bucks worth of ministry to him. I mean, I spent 25 or 30 minutes with him. See, we've got to get this word to faithful men who could get it to others. Do you see this? Now listen, because this language gets strong. No one, and listen, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Does this make sense, son? Man, you got to soldier up. You're going to take some, man, there's going to be slings, there's going to be arrows, there's going to be, man, the bullets are going to fly. Man, people are going to check your motives. People are going to hate you for it. Man, we tell people that God loves them and Jesus died for them and that God's the healer, and people hate that. Because invariably somebody's grandmama died or somebody lost a baby or something happened. It's like, wait a second, that doesn't change our doctrine. We've got to be soldiers in the doctrine. Man, we've got to endure hardship. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The affairs of this life, anxiety and depression and sorrow and despair and terror and fear. And man, let me tell you, you've sat here now for about 21 minutes listening to the word. You're not spiritually bankrupt right now. I'm telling you, this, your heart, man, the theme of your heart can change to this word. But let me tell you, you've got to understand that sometimes it's going to be hard. You've got to endure hardship. Paul said another place, he said, harden yourself to difficulties. Oh, wait a second. I thought when I gave my life to the Lord, I'd just be skipping down the yellow brick road. No, that's a fairy tale. See, understand that. We're at war right now. There is a battle going on. And it's not to get you, I don't believe it's to get you to deny Jesus. I believe it's to get you not to get God's promise and God's word and Jesus to other people. Man, there's no way the devil's going to get Scott to deny Jesus. No, he's not. But you know what? He's going to make things so hectic, and he's going to try to bring some confusion, and he's going to throw the kitchen sink at Scott for him not to walk up to people and say, what's your favorite verse? I thought of Scott today when I was on that sidewalk this morning in downtown Tulsa. Because Scott would have been talking, and I'd say, Scott, do you have anything to say? And he'd ask the guy, what's your favorite verse? Just give me one. And it's every time I've seen him do that to somebody, it's life-changing for him. Because most people call themselves Christians and don't have a verse to, it's like, you got no chance. Do you understand that? See, we've got to be good soldiers. We're enlisted people. Number one tonight, God's design takes you beyond where you are, beyond your disappointments, your hurts, your unmet expectations. Paul in Philippians 1 wrote, and he said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Confident of this very thing. In the Dake's Bible, there's a note that says, God lacking nothing in performing his will in our lives. Take a picture of that. Write it down. God lacking nothing. Be confident, because God lacks nothing in performing his will in your life. What's his will? Is his will for you to be healed? Is his will for you to be saved? Is his will for you to be rescued? Is his will for you to be protected? Is it will for him to be your shelter? Is it will for him to be your resource? Is his will to resource the dreams of your life? Yes, 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 yes. Well, listen, he doesn't lack in any of that resource. Number two, life is designed to work in God's will. It doesn't work outside his will. Why isn't this working? It's an easy answer. And let me tell you, a big key to this life working is effort. What if, okay, it's crazy talk. What if you tried your hardest? What if you tried your hardest? It's interesting because it's trendy now to minister to people and try to help them with their best life. Man, how about you live your best life? Well, let me tell you, best life comes from best effort. So it's are you trying? Because I'll tell you what, if this were baseball, your range, if you were a defensive back, your range is much, much greater than you think it is. Best life comes from our best effort. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. God, you will show me the path of life. You will show me the path. In your presence is fullness of joy. But listen, we love that prayer. Oh, God, we need your presence, fullness of joy. Man, his presence is fullness of joy. No, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. It starts with, you will show me my route. You will show me my path in life. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Number three, it's simple. His design for you is to overcome. We're designed to overcome. By design, we overcome. Oh, why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen to bad people too. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. We're just built to overcome it. We're built, listen, to get through it. Man, I believe when we're brand new in Christ, God, what God does is he swoops us up, and it's that one where it's like, God, I went through this storm and there was only one set of footprints. God, where were you? And God will say, man, that was my footprints. I carried you through that. Okay, as a babe in Christ, I think that's the truth. But then 16 years later, man, you get through it. You might have to activate your spiritual muscles. You might have to activate your faith. You might have to begin to trust God. Man, I got some symptoms. Where are you, God? Activate your faith, man. What do you believe in your heart? Do you believe God's a healer? Have you said God's a healer? Yeah, that's how it works. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Don't be so gullible. Whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Listen, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. There's so many thoughts that we have. There's so much dissertation that is Antichrist. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They're of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and they hear, and the world hears them. Okay, verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God doesn't hear us. By this we know that there's a spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's by design. A, test everything by God's promises. Well, you know, I got a tumor. I guess it's just the will of God. God's just seeing if I can trust him through it. Okay. There's nowhere in the Word that you're going to see that God gives us tumors. Nowhere. That's the spirit of error. Right? Thank you for the... B, the overcoming nature of God comes with the lordship of Jesus. See, the world speaks. That's what John writes here. Lies, deceits, accusations, defeat, dysfunction, disease. The overcoming nature of God comes with the lordship of Jesus. Okay, God, I give you my life. The overcoming nature of God comes into our lives now. You can think like you've always thought, or you can renew your mind to God's promise and think like God and overcome no matter what. And finally, see, we know the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. I'm just telling you, once you begin to identify the Spirit of truth, you know what's not God. You know. Man, you gotta try the spirits. And the devil's gonna try to convince you. I talked about the tithe earlier. It's not a fundraising ploy of the church. The tithe's not for the church. It's a difficult pill to get people to swallow. No, you know what it is? It's for you. God says, look, try me, test me now on this. The one time in the Word, God says, try me. If I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. But you know what people hear? Goes, oh, they don't. All they do is talk about money. Do you know how much Jesus talked about money? Anybody here think they have an idea how much Jesus did? What's the percentage of what Jesus talked about money? 2/3 of what he talked about was money, was finances, was resources. 2/3. We know the spirit of truth, the spirit of faith, and it's contradictory to the spirit of error and vice versa. Paul said, don't be of many teachers. Paul said, what you hear me say, you say. What you see me do, you do. Man, pray without ceasing. Man, you've got to be in the Word because you got to proclaim it day and night. In season and out of season, no matter what. Man, go back through these verses. Go back through 1 John. Man, find 1 Corinthians 2:4. Man, start demonstrating the Spirit of God in your life. Man, be around people that exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And if all I'm around is frustrated, anxious, stubborn, mean, demanding. Man, if that's what I'm around, that's what bad company corrupts good morals. Get around people that the fruit of the Spirit's exhibited in their life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.